first verse of Hebrews chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, or the writer of this book, says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The apostle, in closing the preceding chapter, recommended the grace of faith and a life of faith as a great preventative of apostasy. And he begins now a long journey, and he enlarges on the nature and the fruits of the excellent grace of God given to true believers. Grace that shows in all who live in this exercise of true faith. This chapter is filled with great examples from the Old Testament of men and women who lived by faith. Men and women who did extraordinary things. Men and women who suffered greatly in the strength of this blessed grace. You know, the advantages we have in the revealed gospel for the exercise of faith is shown to be even greater than the example of the Old Testament saints. I mean, we talk about great saints like Abraham and Moses and Noah and David and Joshua. And we talk about what great saints they were. And I read their lives sometimes and I think, boy, I wish I was like that. I wish I was blessed like that. The truth of the matter is, in Christ, we have even more. Because what they looked forward to and hoped would come to pass, we look back to and say, it came to pass. We're given a description of the grace of faith as a substance to be hoped for and an evidence of things not seen. What a blessed hope every child of grace cherishes in their souls regarding their mortal circumstances and even their mortal trials. I want to bring you a message tonight that I have titled, Faith, Our Hope and Our Vision. And I pray that God will give me the grace to preach it to you. First of all, faith is the undergirding of hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, he says. Now, this faith is it's a spiritual tool. It's not just some moral virtue. There are a lot of people that don't lie and don't chew, and don't spit on the sidewalk, and don't kick their dog, and don't beat their wife. And they're as ungodly as they can be. This is more than an assent to anything that's affirmed in the gospel. It's more than just saying, I believe this, that, or the other. It's not just a matter of miracles of profession. They always talk about miracles in the Bible, but I always think about those two men, Jannes and Jambres, who were Pharaoh's magicians. And everything Moses did, they did. This chapter, in fact, is a reflection of the teachings that he gave us in chapter 10, that faith gives the just man life and annexes their soul to God. The promises and blessings of grace show the faith of Old Testament saints. The great thing about these men and women that we're going to read about in this chapter is they believe God. One of the great classical statements about Abraham is he believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Doesn't get any better than that. Faith gives us a firm persuasion of power. of grace and of love from God. He gives us special blessings and a special interest in them. Faith is described as the substance of things hoped for. In general, faith looks to things future and yet to come. I read something, I don't know, it's been 3, 4, 5 years ago, I read this statement and I thought, it's a strange statement. I was reading this book by A.W. Tozier, and there he said, there'll be no faith in heaven. And I thought, what? And he went on to explain, there's no reason for faith. You have reality. And it's faith that causes us to look to the future, because in the future, all these things that God's promised us are going to happen, they're going to come to us, and we don't have to look forward to them anymore. Faith gives the believer hope for impossible things. When I was a little boy, probably not any taller than 80, when I was growing up, I used to think, I want to be 7 foot tall. And the closer I got to that, I thought, hey, this is okay. I might get there. Well, I didn't quite get there, but I got taller than everybody else. That's what faith does. It gives us faith to believe and accept and acknowledge things that are impossible. The Old Testament saints demonstrated the capacity of faith to give hope. They constantly had faith. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord and saved his life. Joshua had faith to tell the people, forget about the fact they've got giants in the land. God told us to go there. Let's go. But New Testament faith has more grace and more perseverance and more life. Abraham died and never saw Christ. Now you and I, on the other end, we look back. He died in this world before we were born. But we look back and we have historical relevance to evidence that he came. It's the substance of our hope. It's the ground and the foundation of true hope. And the word of promise is the foundation of hope in our faith in the blessed word. There's a lot of things I don't believe. Those of you who know, it's only, 4 weeks, John, from today until the election. We'll have a new president elected. I don't have faith in either one of them, I'll tell you the truth. But I have faith in this book. I know more about them than I know about some of the stuff in this book, but I believe this book. This is God's word. It ought to be believed. It ought to be practiced. It ought to be the foundation for every decision that we make. It's a confident assurance of every believer. We don't need the assurance of people. I heard on the news today, I don't know what they were talking about. I guess there's some kind of ID card that they're saying that Kentucky driver's licenses won't work and you won't be able to get on a plane or get in an airport or some other places or stuff with a Kentucky driver's license after some date in December. And I thought, well, I don't care. I'm not going to the airport. And they said, you won't be able to get in the courthouse. I said, good. If they want me to come in the courthouse, they'll let me in. If they don't want to let me in, that's fine. I'll stay out. But the Word of God is the certainty and the substance of all hope. There's a respect of hope in the faith of the Old Testament saints. I just admire. I just finished reading the Pentateuch again, and I just finished the book of Joshua a couple of days ago, and the people in those books, they simply said, God said it. That's all they needed. And if they didn't believe that, then they perished. The incarnation and the suffering and the death of Christ are spoken of to them as a prospect, but we speak of them as a reality because we look back and we see them. We don't have to have faith in them, but we have a hope in them. Heaven and glory and eternal salvation are seen in regard to faith in the New Testament saints. The Apostle Paul was a man of unbelievable faith. I tell you, we read his books. I do, and I don't think you're any different than me. I read his books, and I am so prone to forget where he was when he wrote them. What circumstances he was in when he wrote them. He was trusting God. He was sitting in a Roman prison with his feet and his arms in shackles and Roman soldiers guarding him. He was limited as to what he could do and where he could go and who he could see and what he could say. But he believed God. Faith gives us the possession of everything that comes before our hand. I'm so thankful for God's faith. It's the comfort and the foundation of our spiritual life. So blessed. This faith is also the evidence of things that are not seen. He says that. It's the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Things that have been done in eternity in the counsel and the covenant of God's grace and peace, we believe them by faith. Now, I'm a simple-minded man. I believe what's in this book because God said it. And it always amuses me that people come to me or they call me and they'll say, Preacher, have you got 5 minutes? And I say, well, sure, yeah, what do you need? And they say, can you explain this to me? And I say, no. And they'll say, what do you mean, no? I say, I can't explain it to you. Don't you believe it? Yeah, I believe it. I don't understand it. This book tells us what God does, and we believe it by faith. It's also things that were done in creation, in time, and in providence. God sat on the throne of the universe for who knows how long, until one day he decided, I'll make a world. And he said, let there be. And there was. And it was good. It's the prospect of life. He said, let there be life. And there was life. He said, let there be miracles. And there was miracles. He told Satan, there'll be suffering. There'll be death. And there'll be the resurrection. And I'll do it all. I find preachers are extremely hesitant to tell folks that the Lord takes somebody. But nobody leaves this world on their own. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only man who ever lived who bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Everybody else, the Lord comes and gets them. It's things present. Everything around you is in God's hands. It's the being and the perfection and the love of God. He does all that. It's the seat of Christ at the right hand of His throne and His continual intercession for His people. He pleads our prayers even before we offer them because He knows their need. It's the varied blessings of grace revealed in the gospel. It's the future blessings of invisible realities in another world. I don't know about you, but as I get older, I am more amused at how religious people fight each other. First of all, most of what they fight about, they don't know what they're talking about. And secondly, a lot of things they fight about, they're all wrong about. Because the truth is, none of them know. And I'm always amused when I think about heaven, and folks, I think about Jesus sitting on that stool there in front of the Pharisees and Sadducees in the temple when he was 12 years old. And I think about, that's what we'll do. We'll be sitting on these little stools around there, and the Lord will be telling us these glorious things, and all these religious doctors of divinity and doctors of theology, they'll all be listening to this, and they'll say, and they'll be just as surprised as you and I are. You know, faith obtained a good report for the elders. He says in verse 2, "For by it the elders obtained a good report." These elders were not just old men. They were spiritual men who had a spiritual hope in their spiritual hearts. They weren't just men of ancient years, but men who had lived before the flood of God's wrath. Others came who were ancestors and predecessors of the Hebrew people. And God revealed Himself to them. Melchizedek, most interesting man. Nobody knows where he came from, where he went to. But God spoke through him. These were men who genuinely received a good report from God by grace. There were people who were chosen of God, justified, and accepted in His Son. You know, children and friends of God who are glorified in Christ are men and women of faith. They're good men and good women, known for their faith and their holiness. Sometimes evil men come with good works, and they believe religious doctrines, and people are impressed by them. But the Word of God says, "I never knew you." They're people who give a good report, who adorn their profession in the land. And this book is full of them. This 11th chapter, we're going to have it. This is going to be an exciting journey. I've been looking forward to getting this chapter for a while. There are men here like Abel. He got a good report because he was a righteous man. Righteous man. Murdered by his brother, but a good man. There's Enoch, that man who walked with God and was no more. Wow. There's Noah, the man who was found perfect in his generation in God's eyes. He was as wicked as everybody else in his day, but in God's eyes he found grace and was received. Abraham was a believer of God, a friend who feared and obeyed Jehovah. There was Job, a man who so feared God that he shunned evil. Not many folks today shun an evil. There was Moses, a man of meek faith, who simply bowed to God's will. And there's David, a man after God's own heart, a man who fulfilled his will, a man whom God loved. He was wicked as a snake, a liar, a thief, fornicator, murderer, cheat, coward. But he was a man after God's own heart. He declares here that faith is not a new thing. It's not a new thing. It's not something we just find. Now, the character of a believer is honorable. The apostle intends to remove any esteem of their traditional elders. The Jews, they had these elders, these priests and high priests, and these scribes, and they were so proud and arrogant and haughty. And the apostle wanted to tell us there's no hope in such men. They had a name of tradition and a name of imitation, but not a faith. Faith raises authority. And it raises superior wisdom in those people of God. It demands that they have the same true faith as their ancestors. There's all kinds of piddling little people in the Old Testament. Many of them have the same faith that Moses had, the same faith that Abraham had, the same faith that Job had, the same faith that David had. It's a vain thing to boast of being the descendants of Abraham if you're not God's. And then faith reveals to the saints the work of God and His Word. He says in verse 3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Worlds were formed by this majestic word. The celestial world. Who knows what's out there? With all its inhabitants and all its angels, is the work of God. The ethereal world of stars and planets and all that's in them, it's God's work. I'm always intrigued when people are confused as their life on other planets. Right now they're all hepped up that there might be life on Mars. You know what? There might be. There might be. That doesn't affect us one bit. Because if there's life out there, God made it. And He has a purpose in them, and He'll do it. This world we live in is filled with men and with beasts and animals of all kinds. Around us are the waters of the seas and the lakes and all that's therein. We've just seen the last few days the damage that was done by the storms coming up from the Caribbean up along the eastern coast of the United States. I talked to Brother Jackson yesterday, and he just, Savannah, Georgia, to me, is one of the most beautiful places in the world, and I love it down there. And he said it looks like a war zone. That's God's work. The apostle is so excited with God that he disregards all human notions. I know a lot of Christians are bothered by atheists and agnostics and scientists and unbelievers who have their ideas and theories. I listen to them and I laugh at them. They don't know what they're talking about. Now, they probably think I don't know what I'm talking about either. That's okay. But all the worlds are made by God through His holy word. All, and I mean all creation, is ascribed to the credit of Christ, God's word. Christ said, "Let there be." And there was. And it was good. For 6 days he did it. Let there be. And there was. And it was good. Framed by the word in a beautiful order as his design. The older I get, I just like to ride down the road and look at things. And think, my God made that. I know He used people and tools and this, that, and the other to do it, but my God made that. Things that are less perfect are made before those that men honor. He made trees and rocks, grass. He made some things that are bad for men before he even made men. He made Adam and Eve, and he told them, said, there's a garden. Have whatever you want. There's all kinds of fruit, baloney trees, this, that, and the other. There's one tree in the middle of the garden. Don't touch it. I remind you, God made that tree. By divine revelation, we see Him as the author and the origin of all things. It's amazing. I finished a book just before I came over here. A fellow I like, he writes a lot of books. They don't involve too much thinking, so I like them. And he's got 8 or 10 series of books, and he puts a new one out about twice a year. I like them just because they take my mind off things. He's the author of all those books. But my God is the author and finisher of everything. Everything. God displays these things before our mortal vision. He shows Himself in the heavens and the earth and the seas. I don't know where I was at the other day. And I looked and there was a fellow there, and I said, "Is that a nuclear power plant over there?" And he said, "No." I said, "It's just the way the clouds roll. There's a river over there." And he said, "The clouds are rolling up off that river." It just was the most beautiful thing. There was a blue sky underneath of it and a blue sky up above it, and these huge, big, white billowy clouds as far as you could see. And I thought, wow, my God made that. He shows Himself in the earth. So these giant trees we have around here. Shows Himself in the seas. There's a commercial some insurance company has on television, and they have these great whales, and they show them leaping out of the water, and it's just huge. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen a whale, or one of these big whales, not. But they're bigger than this building. I mean, and they just like jumping out of water. Our God did that. The perfections of nature are discerned by revelation. I know everybody's got a different idea on this. That's okay. You know what I think is the most beautiful thing in the world? A yellow rose. I can just look at one for hours. They're just so beautiful. The other thing that's beautiful to me is an American saddlebred horse. I can watch them run for hours. They look so perfect. My God made them. God's glory is beyond the grasp of our mortal vision. All things that he made were made from nothing. Creationists, they use the term ex nihilo. It means from nothing. And God made everything ex nihilo. You know, I mean, Harold and Buddy are talented guys. Not me. But they can take a piece of wood or a piece of metal and do some amazing things with it. But they can't do anything if they don't have something to work with. Our God simply said, let there be. And he made it. They're formed in the mass and brought into beautiful order by his word. Faith of true believers is that creation is from nothing. God created and made to appear everything that is in the heavens and in the earth. Everything. He formed these things. And he put them in his desired order, just as they are, just as they have been, and just as they will be, until he's ready for them to depart. Then real quickly, I want to just touch on one more thing. True saving faith is given as an understanding of the things of God. By faith, we understand the works of God in his grace and in his judgment. Paul talked about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Faith is the evidence of God's eternal blessing on his elect people. They are sovereignly chosen and sovereignly appointed to faith. And the Lord Jesus Christ redeems that multitude by his death as their surety. Jesus didn't just die. That's one of the most common doctrinal errors in the world, and it's blasphemy. He didn't just die. He died for a people. And he died for a purpose. And the Holy Spirit regenerates and calls every one of those chosen people. You must evaluate your evidence of a good title. We must examine the evidence and find out if you have good hope. Here's what Peter said in 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. No experience of grace, no feeling, no work is sufficient. A songwriter once wrote, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. I trust the living word of God. None else is worth believing. Our only hope is entirely in Christ. Paul told the young preacher Timothy, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. True faith is never proved by love for others, even if it's genuine. You know, I don't know for certain who my brethren really are. There are a lot of religious folks around. They always talk about how we're all related. I don't know how many of them are. But I'll tell you this, my love for the brethren will never exceed the requirements of Scripture. I'll never love them as much as Christ loved them. Not in this world. Faith built on feeble affection will fail you sooner or later. I'm 71 years old. I've been around a lot of religious people. I've seen them come. I've seen them go. I've seen them rise. I've seen them fall. I've seen them conquer. I've seen them been conquered. Your faith will fail you. God's faith won't. If you have faith, it's a gift from God. It's not a result of your efforts and your intelligence. Faith reveals to the saints of God all his workings as revealed in his blessed word. And I'll leave you with this. Genuine faith reveals the workings and the purpose of God in all his dealings with us. I don't think you're any different than me. There are things that happen in your life and events that happen in your life when you say, why? Why? So do I. The answer is, and the answer we must rest in is, that by faith God has declared it to be so. That's it. That's it. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen.
Such a good father. I have such a good shepherd. And nothing else matters. You've done for me and cared for me every way necessary. And I rejoice in that. Thank you, Lord, for this. I pray that something I've said. dismiss us with thy watch care. Guard us and protect us and provide us. Pray for those who were mentioned, that your hand of goodness would be upon them, that your will would be done. Especially we pray for our friend Q and Joyce, that you bless them. Dismiss us with thy watch care, I pray in Christ's name.
He wasn't ugly. I got a picture of his baby for John.
You're mad.
No, I ain't. He
Josh,
said...
Josh was the ugliest baby I ever saw in my life.
Baby said, come here and look at this thing. And I said, what's wrong with it? She said, not ugly.
Yeah.
Said,
they tell the hog was the prettiest baby that ever lived. And I thought he was the ugliest kid I ever saw.
But he's a 30-year-old. He had the prettiest blue eyes and blonde hair I'd laid my eyes on. He was. And I got a picture of them together. And he's a spitting image of his mother, and he's a spitting image of David. They went with just like that.
Isn't that funny?
He graduated. He was a good looking boy. Yeah, we look good. I said, don't worry, man. I just back the bags up.
Thank you.
wrong with this damn thing? I keep turning it off and it won't go off.